matter of fact. I guess you would call the title of my message this morning, Storm Warnings. Storm Warnings. Brother Danny and Miss Carol took us out on the boat with Brother Donnie and Miss Sandy, and we had a great time. And we got on the boat, and the skies were clear and everything else, but Brother Danny neglected to tell me that there was a storm coming. He had looked on his telephone, and his telephone had said, hey, around 5:30, it's going to rain on the lake. He didn't tell me that when I got on the boat. He did warn me. He did say that, hey, I've gotten myself in some sticky situations. He didn't tell me that until we were on the boat already. But he did say, hey, here's a warning about this. But he never told me about the storm that was coming on the lake. Now, we got holed up in that storm about an hour and a half of driving rain. I mean, just pouring on the entire time. Lightning striking all over us. And I got back to the boat dock and I wanted to kiss the ground and say, thank you, God. Didn't do it, but I wanted to. And I kind of wonder if Brother Danny had told me that there were storms coming if I would have got on that boat. My friends, God has given us some storm warnings. Because we are in a storm and we're about to get a serious storm in this country. Now, I don't mean to be a downer this morning, and I don't mean to be having a message given to you this morning to make you feel bad, but my friends, my brothers, my sisters, you've got to understand that this country is headed for hell. We are in a storm of proportions that we have never seen before. But here's the good news, and we're going to look at here in the book of Deuteronomy in just a second. Here is the good news. We have advanced warning. Here's the good news. We have a God who will keep us safe, a God who will guide and direct us, a God who says, if you'll do this and if you'll do this, then I will bless you. But my friends, he also says, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to suffer the consequences. Our God's a God of grace. Our God's a God of mercy. He forgives our sins. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are secure in the hands of Jesus Christ forever and ever. But here's the deal. There's a lot of people around us, a lot of people governing our country, our state, our city, that do not know Jesus Christ their Savior. They need to see Jesus in us. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter number 27 this morning. We're going to be in Deuteronomy. We're going to be in several other passages of Scripture this morning. But I want to start in Deuteronomy chapter number 27. Now, I do realize and understand that when Moses wrote these words and God was giving this message, he was speaking to Israel particularly. But the principles that he's sharing with Israel are always the same for all of God's people. So don't hear and look and say, well, that doesn't apply to me. If you are a child of God, this applies to you just as much as it did to the children of Israel, what God has to say here. Deuteronomy chapter number 27, verse number 1, it says, and Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. He says, listen, I'm about to tell you what you need to do, and I want you to remember what I've already told you. I want you to remember the commandments that I've already given to you. God had given them not only 10 commands, but he had given them several guidance and direction of how to live their life because they were God's chosen people. Why did God choose these people? Why did he choose the Israelites? Why didn't he choose the Canaanites? Why didn't he choose all of them? I can't explain that to you. But he chose them specifically because he chose them. Now hold on a minute. Why did God choose me? Why did God choose you? When he saw my sin and he saw my wretchedness, he saw who I was even before I was born. Why did he choose to save my sorry soul through his son, Jesus Christ? Why did he choose to do that for you? I can't explain it, but I praise God for it. But when he saved my soul, he expected me to do right. He expected me to live for him. He expected me to live my life that brings honor and glory to his son, Jesus Christ. And he's expecting the same thing for you. God didn't just choose the United States of America to bless and then let the United States of America do what it wanted to do. He chose to bless the United States of America to bring honor and glory to himself. And may I tell you, brothers and sisters, the United States of America is failing at that miserably right now. I know it may not be a pleasant thing to hear, but it's the truth. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can make a difference. You can make a difference in your home. You can make a difference in this church. You can make a difference in this city. You can make a difference in this state. And lo, you can make a difference in this country and all over the world if you're willing to just get back to doing what God has told you to do. And that's what he's telling his people. He says, you're getting ready to go into the promised land. You're getting ready to have a blessing. You're getting ready to see what I've prepared for you. But I want to give you a storm warning. If you don't, the consequences will be dire. Here in chapter number 27, go down to verse number 11. He says, Moses charged the people the same day. And this is what he said. These shall stand upon Mount Gizim to bless the people. And when you are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. He says, listen, here's what they're going to do. They're going to stand before the people, and they're going to share these things, and you're going to repeat. I'm going to give you these phrases. You're going to repeat them, saying you acknowledge what you're being taught. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you are awake this morning? Some of you aren't. Okay. From this point forward, you are responsible for what God's word says. I am simply the messenger. When you're hearing God's word and you're reading God's word, I hope you've got God's word open. As you're reading it, as you're hearing it, the Holy Spirit's going to hold you responsible, going to hold you accountable for what you're going to see and hear. So you can take it up with him if you get mad at me. Amen? It's okay, because guess what? God has got to speak to me much more than he's got to speak to you about these things. It has to apply to me just as much as it applies to you. I don't stand before you a perfect man this morning. I stand before you a sinner saved by grace. I stand before you a man who needs to grow and grow closer to Jesus Christ every day of my life. And I praise God he has mercy and grace. He's not done with me yet. Amen. So he says, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you some phrases, and then you're going to repeat back is what he's telling them. Verse number 15, he says this. He says, listen, cursed be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. So these curses down through here, all of verse number 26, he makes a statement, and all the people that are hearing say, amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father, his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless, and widow. Cursed he that lieth with his father's wife. Cursed he that lieth with any manner of beast. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, the daughter of his mother. Cursed he that lieth with his mother-in-law. Cursed he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. There's a bunch of curses here. And when he said, listen, if you do this, you're going to be cursed. And all the people said, amen. They acknowledged it. They admitted that they understood. Do you understand what God's trying to help you understand here? When he gives you his word, you're supposed to acknowledge and say, yes, I understand. So how many of you understand so far what we're talking about here? Okay. You're now accountable. Okay. Now, verse 28, or chapter 28, I'm sorry, chapter 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If you'll listen, and if you'll obey, and if you'll follow my commandments, God says, you will be blessed. How many of you like that idea? Yes. I want to be blessed. I want God to make me fruitful. I want to be a witness. I want to be a man of God. I want to be somebody who's the lover of my wife and the father of my children and the pastor of this church. I want to be a man on fire for God. And anytime God says, hey, this is how I'm going to bless you, my ears ought to perk up and my ears ought to say, wow, how do I get this blessing? Wow, how do I get God's love? How do I get God to use me? That's how you ought to be this morning. I want to hear it. You know how you get it? By listening to what God's word says and simply obeying it. That's how you get it. That's how you get the blessing. Let's look at some things that God says he will do when you listen to him. Verse number 3. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of the cattle, and the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of thine sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out. God says, listen, if you'll listen to me, if you'll follow what I say and follow my commandments, I'm going to bless you beyond blessing. I'm going to take care of your family. I'm going to take care of your home. I'm going to take care of your food. I'm going to take care of your church. I'm going to take care of your city. When you come in, I'm going to bless you. When you go out, I'm going to bless you. When you're in the city, I'm going to bless you. When you're doing this, I'm going to bless you. Man, how many of you want some of that blessing? Yes. How many of you agree that God has blessed America up to now? We have seen some of this. How God has blessed us beyond reason. How God has kept us from things that could have happened and taken place. But my friends, the United States of America is getting away from the blessings of God. We are falling away from the blessing. But now hold on a minute. Let me bring it home to you just a second. North Carolina is getting away from the blessings of God. Bryson City is getting away from the blessings of God. This church, our families, ourselves, are getting away from the blessings of God. You know why? Because we have stopped listening to what God has told us to do. Now, wait a minute. You're just getting here, you upstart pastor. How dare you tell me these things? Storm warning. Where's that ballot again? I want to vote. Brothers and sisters, this is not me jumping on you. This is me simply saying, listen, we've got to pay attention to what's going on. We cannot hide our heads in the sand and sing kumbaya and hope everything turns out well. We as individuals have got to look in ourselves and say, oh God, show me. Matter of fact, hold your finger right here. Go to Psalm 139 real quick. Let me show you something. Psalm 139. And I hope you turn with me to your scriptures and look at this because I want you to see it also. I don't want you to just take it because I say it, but I want you to see what God's word says. Psalm 139. David, we know the king of Israel, and we know the things that David got himself involved in. And we know that he wasn't a perfect man, but God still said that he was a man after his own heart. Look what David said, verse number 139, verse number 1. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising, and thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For it is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. How many of you can relate where David is talking about that, God, you know everything about me? He does. He knows where you're hurting this morning. He knows what you're dealing with in your family. He knows your failures. He knows your blessings. He knows your struggles. He knows your hurt. But yet he still loves you. And he's not done with you. He's not finished with you. He's not not finished with this church. He's not finished with this town. He's not finished with this state or with this country. You know how I know that? Because we still exist. It's not too late. We can still be blessed. We can still be used of God. But we have got to heed and understand that you can't hide from God. You can do things in secret, but God still knows what's going on. We need to be honest with each other. We need to stop the stained glass masquerade. We come in here on Sundays, on Wednesdays, and we present a mask. Everything is fine, brother, when really deep inside we're hurting. And we don't know why. We need to know that God loves us and he's still in control of these things. And he wants to bless us. But here's the key. Pay attention, please. Here's the key. You've got to be willing to admit it. You've got to drop your pride. I've got to drop my pride. I've got to be willing that I don't have it figured out. I've got to be willing to remember and understand that I don't know all the answers. And I've got to be willing to be broken. And I've got to be willing to say, God, help me to be blessed. Help me, God, to be the man of God I need to be. So David continues on. Look what his prayer request is. He says, go down to verse number 23. He ends this psalm by saying these words. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what it's got to be. It's got to start with Tanner. It's got to work its way all the way across, all the way up to the balcony, all the way up to this platform. We have got to determine, oh God, search me. I want to be blessed. I want to be a man after thine own heart, God. Search me this morning. Open my heart up, God. Show me if there's any wicked way in me. Because if there is, God, I want to get it right. I don't want to be in the middle of that storm. If Brother Danny had told me before we got on the boat, hey, Brother Brian, at 5:30, it's going to come a storm. It's going to be a frog strangler. If he had told me that before we got on that boat, I might have hesitated. If I'd have known that we'd been an hour and a half of driving rain with lightning blasting all over us with my wife and children. God got us through. Brother Danny directed us fantastic. Brother Donnie, I appreciate you being that lightning rod out there. Amen. But if I'd have known what was going to happen, I'd have paid greater attention. God said, I want to bless you. And if you'll follow me, and if you'll listen to me, I'll bless you. But if you don't, there's some dire consequences. We could have sunk out there. Matter of fact, there was a young man, when we stopped to eat, who was in a small little John boat. And he took off about 10 minutes into the river, into the lake, headed towards a Larka dock. About 10 minutes before that storm hit. I pray he made it. I pray he was smart enough to get off that lake and boat that thing. I don't know if he made it or not. And if I'd have known that the storm was going to be like it was, I would have tried to warn him, hey, the storm's coming. Now, he could have looked at me and said, you don't know what you're talking about. He could have. He could have said, mind your own business. I've got this. And I would have said, okay. You know what God's saying? Storm's coming. You can say, mind your own business, God. I got this. Storm's coming. God, you're an old fuddy-duddy up in heaven. You don't know what you're talking about. Because look what he says. Now go back to Deuteronomy. He gives us the first 14 verses of 28. He gives you the blessings. He says, if you'll heed my word, this is what I will do. But now look at verse number 15. Here's the warning. But if it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all the commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. He says, listen, he doesn't say, it might happen. He doesn't say, well, it could. It says, it's going to happen. You don't play games with God. I don't play games with God. This country doesn't play games with God. We're not exempt. If God says this is the way you do it, you best well do it. Look what he says. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed be thou when thou comest in, and cursed shall be when thou goest out. He says, listen, you don't pay attention to me? Your marriages are going to fail. You don't listen to me. Your families are going to fail. Your churches are going to fail. Your cities are going to fail. Your governments are going to fail. Everything you have is going to fail if you don't listen to me. That's what he says. And it's amazing. When this was read during Nehemiah's time, when the Levites got up during Nehemiah's time and read these words, because that's what they read, when the people were going back into Jerusalem and began to rebuilding it, and they stood and they read these words, you know what the people did? They didn't do this. Well, it's almost 12 o'clock, time to go to lunch. They didn't say, well, we're going to the lake today. You know what they did? The Bible says they wept. And they wailed, and they begged God for forgiveness. They said, oh God, forgive us. Make us your people again. United States of America, Victory Baptist Church, Schuler family, God wants to bless. But if you ignore him, if you decide to go your way and do what you want to do, you've got curses coming. That's what he says. Why would God give us a warning? Why would God not just strike us dead? Why doesn't God just wipe this country off the planet right now? Why? Because he loves us and there's still hope. But we need to get away from judging people based upon what they look like. We need to get away from judging people based upon what they do and what they smell like. We need to love people where they are and show them Jesus Christ. We need to love one another. Brother Danny kind of talked about this morning. I want to show this to you. How do we as a church then heed the warning and get back to where God wants us to be? Let me show you three quick things. All that was introduction. That was all free. Amen? All right? Let me show you three ways. Three ways to heed the storm warning. Number one, go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Let me show you. Hebrews chapter number 10. It begins in the church. It has to be. Because if we can't get things right here, how in the world do we expect to get things right out there? If we say we love one another, but we treat each other like garbage, how in the world is the people who don't know Jesus Christ their Savior, how in the world are they going to want to come here and get treated like that? Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 24. The Bible says, let us consider one another, fellow believers, to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another. Let us come here together to worship, to make each other love each other, to cause each other to love one another, to cause each other to have good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The storm's coming, brothers and sisters. It's a coming. There's going to get laws passed. There's things that are going to take place that you never thought was going to happen. How many of you thought 5 years ago, 5 years ago, that we would see the debauchery that we see now? How many of you thought that was coming? None of us. I remember in school, and Brother Trent, where's Trent this morning? Is he here this morning? I was talking to him yesterday. All right, there you are up there, brother. We said, hey, it used to be in school, the worst thing you got in trouble for was chewing gum. We didn't have to worry about some dude walking in the girls' bathroom. But it's real now. The debauchery, the killings. We never thought this was going to happen. It's taking place. But guess what? It ought not to take place here. We ought to come here and be able to love one another. Because we're not perfect people. There's not a single one of us that have it all figured out in here. I need to be loved in here. I need you to hug my neck. I'm a hugger. Now, if you're not a hugger, that's fine. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Just don't punch me if I try to hug you. Amen? I need to smile. I need to be smiled at. I love it when I greet somebody and I shake their hands. Now, I may call you by a wrong name for a little while until I get used to everybody. But I love hearing my name and you call my name and I call your name and we smile at each other and shake hands. I love it. I need that. So do you. We fight hell in a handbasket every day in this world. It ought not to be that way here. We may not agree on everything. We may not get along on everything. But my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have Jesus Christ in common, and that ought to be enough to love one another. Because there's a storm coming. It's here. We ought to be able to love each other here. Because we need each other. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Look at number two. The second thing that ought to cause us. We ought to be the light in the community. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. We ought to love one another, but we also ought to be the light in the community. Brother Danny, you might think that you wrote this message for me. I praise God, the Sunday school lesson came right along with what I was thinking. I'm glad how God does that, amen? Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13. Jesus is speaking to the Jews there, speaking to the people. He's teaching them. He says, listen, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden down under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light as a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The storm's coming. We ought to love one another in this place. We ought to love the fellowship. We ought to love the singing. We ought to love everything we do in this place. But not only in this place, but with fellow believers. But number two, we ought to also be the light of the world to those around us. I've said this before and I'll continue to say it. Some of you are the only Bible that somebody might read. But here's my question. What version is it? Is it a corrupt and perverted version? You go to church? Oh, I didn't think of that. You're a deacon? Wow. You're the pastor? We ought to not only provoke one another into love, but we ought to be the salt and the light of the world so that people are attracted to Jesus Christ. Are you doing that? You don't got to take your Bible and smack somebody in the head with it. It might help some, amen? I'd like to go to Washington, D.C. and thump a few heads, amen? Oh, this is being recorded. Scratch that, please. No, no. You ought to let your life so shine that when people see you, they see Jesus Christ. How you speak to them, how you treat them. How you are affected on the road with them. You know those people that cut you off right there on the highway here? Don't look at me like you had never got mad on the road. I was pulling our U-Haul, and I hope this wasn't you, Brother Danny. You said it might have been you, but I hope not. I was pulling our U-Haul down to the appliance store, and I didn't know where this place was. I was trying to follow as best I could to get there, and I pulled off the side road, and this yahoo comes passing by me and just lays on the horn. I mean, I'm glad I didn't see him. He might have been telling me I was number one. I don't know. But he laid on that horn. I hope that wasn't you, Brother Danny. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, is that how everybody in Bryson City is? Whew, I'm in trouble. When people see us and our family sees us, they're not expecting perfection, but they are expecting us to represent Jesus Christ. I want to represent Jesus Christ in everything I say, do, and think. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we need to love each other here. Storms are coming. We need each other. We need to be the light in our community. And number three, I already spoke about it a little bit. I want to go back to it. We also need to hit our knees, and we need to pray, and we need to ask God to make us what He wants us to be. Go back to Psalm 139 real quick, and we're almost done. Psalm 139. I want us to look at this, because I want us to end with this morning. Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. A storm's coming. We need to do some self-examination. We need to say, O God, am I loving my fellow believers? Oh God, I want to be blessed. Oh God, I don't want to be cursed. God, I want to be blessed, but I want to be a blessing. Am I loving my fellow believers? Am I loving my spouse and my children? God, am I an example in the community of Jesus Christ? God, search me. And if there's a wicked way in me, God, show it to me. And if you show it to me, God, forgive me. I want to repent and I want to get right with you. Victory Baptist Church, this church needs you to be that way. This city needs you to be that way. You want to influence the country? Get right with God. You want to influence the world? Get right with God. You want to influence this church? Get right with God. You want to influence your family? Get right with God. But it means you got to be honest with yourself and honest with Him. And be willing to do what He wants you to do. I'm not asking you to make a 5-year plan of getting right with God. I'm asking you this morning to get right with God. I'm asking you this morning, oh God, search me and help me to be what you want me to be. And then tomorrow morning, God, help me to be what you want me to be tomorrow morning. A storm's coming, but we have a Savior, the safe harbor. A storm's coming, we have a Savior mightier than any storm that can come along. Where storm's coming, Jesus Christ is alive. Are you willing to be what He wants you to be? This is all I ask you to do. Let's everybody stand this morning. Everybody stand together.
This is not for a show. This is not to impress me or to impress anybody else. But I want to ask you, families. I want to ask you, husbands and wives, young people. I want to ask you to come and hit this altar. I want to ask you to come right now and come and get around an old-fashioned altar and say, oh God, search me. Make me the man of God you want me to be. Make me the woman of God you want me to be. Make us the family you want us to be. Oh God, will you do what needs to be done in my life? Because I want to be blessed. I don't want to be cursed. Won't you come this morning right now as the music begins to play? Won't you come? Just get around an old-fashioned altar. Don't do it for a show. Don't do it for anybody else. You do it because God wants you to do it. Victory Baptist Church needs you to do this. Bryson City, North Carolina needs you. The United States of America needs you. God's not done. Now you may be standing out there saying, Brother Brian, I don't even know Jesus Christ is my Savior. You may be standing there saying, you know what? I have no hope. Won't you come to Him this morning? Won't you admit that you're a sinner? Won't you admit that you can't save yourself? You want to be blessed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, God, that you've not given up on us. Thank you, God, for your mercy, your forgiveness, that you still want to use us. Our country's in a horrible shape morally. But Father, you're not done with us yet. We can be men and women of God that is the salt and light of this world because you have given us that hope through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that we would leave this place willing to do whatever it takes to be blessed. Forgive me. Make me the man you want me to be. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
We'll give the pastor just a second to get back to the back and greet everybody as they leave, and we'll close in a word of prayer. But I will tell you this. He was talking about some guy getting behind him in town and blowing the horn, trying to get him out of the road. When he was just first coming into town the other day, he didn't know it, but he had a U-Haul that day also, and he got behind me coming down the ramp into Bryson City, and he was about out of gas, so he pulled into the Shell station there. He didn't know I was behind him, and when he pulled into the Shell station, it was clogged up. There was cars everywhere. He couldn't get to a pump, and I just pulled right in behind him and laid down on the horn, and I could see in his face, in the rearview mirror, and his righteous indignation was stirred up right there in front of me. That's our new pastor. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us, and we thank you for our blessings that you so freely bestow upon us, Father. And we pray that, Father, that you'll draw us near to you, Father, that you'll keep us close to you, that you'll keep our hearts tender. Father, go with us now. Give us traveling mercies, Father. Bring us back to the appointed hour. We ask these things in your name. Amen.